Level 42, running in the family. It's Channel 1 for Hospedia as far as the James Cook University Hospital is concerned. If you're listening via podcast via southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, well, exciting times as ever on a Friday morning, because we are delighted to welcome that awesome soul, Dennis the Chemist, back to us. How are you, Dennis?
Mighty fine, sir. Mighty fine.
Excellent. Now, Dennis, we've had a young soul called Bethany, I believe, who's effectively sort of said, Dennis, when it comes to the notions of migraine, I've heard it said somewhere that magnesium is quite good. And I think that might well be the topic that you're going to talk about today. Is that not the case?
It may well indeed. Thank you for the feedback. Magnesium is a mineral. I think most people will have heard the name magnesium. We know calcium is a mineral that helps your bones. Actually, magnesium, the mineral magnesium, is equally important. Equally important as calcium, especially for the ladies, well, everybody, but especially ladies when they pass the menopause, because after the menopause, when women have been relying on the hormone estrogen, which men don't rely on the hormone estrogen, so when ladies pass the menopause, usually between the age of 47 to 54, that's when the menopause kicks in, then due to the lack of estrogen, they are more prone to brittle bone disease. This word that a lot of you will have heard, osteoporosis, or the start of osteoporosis, they use the word osteopenia. And then, unfortunately, in many women, that becomes full-blown, brittle bone disease, osteoporosis. And your GP, there are several medicines that he can give ladies to help control this brittle bone disease, osteoporosis. Because osteoporosis, brittle bone disease, can lead to things like ladies tripping up and falling over, and when they get into their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, that we all lose muscle, and we haven't got the strength, and the older lady in particular, to steady themselves, if they're, and then they're going to fall, and then when they fall, they can break their hip because of this osteoporosis problem, the brittle bone disease, and then they have to have a new hip. So it's important to make ladies in particular aware that they can help their brittle bone disease by that there are supplements besides the medicines that doctors can give on prescription. There are supplements which can help them as they pass the menopause and become older and older. There are supplements to help maintain healthy bones. And of course, calcium is one, and I mentioned now magnesium is another. And Pharma Nord, which is a Danish company, so obviously if it's Danish, they're made in Denmark. Their head office actually in England is in Newcastle. And they make about 48 health products, and they sell them all over the world. They're now on sale in America, because I was in America. Pharma Nord had sent me recently to the 9th World Conference, because they make the product that this 9th World Conference was about. It was the substance called Q10. Q10 gives you energy, and you may have heard it that it's in, you know, in facial creams. Pharma Nord actually make a cream, and it's to help prevent wrinkles and help reverse wrinkles, because when you put the cream on your face, it helps to reduce the aging process, because Q10 gives you energy. As I say, Q10, so important. It's their biggest seller in their entire range, because Q10 gives you energy. We do make it ourselves in the liver, Q10. And as we get older, well, as we pass 20, we start to make less Q10. And when we get to 40, our production's gone back to the levels of a two-year-old child. And when we get to 80, our levels have gone back to a one-year-old baby. I'm actually 2 years off 80. I'm 78. I've been taking Q10 since I was about 53, 54. And because I started talking about the wonders of the Pharmanord brand, the only country in Europe, that's Denmark, where all health food products, who's ever making them, have to be made to pharmaceutical standards. So as I'm a British pharmacist, I have a pharmacy in Prestwich, Manchester, and if anybody wants notes on the things I'm talking about, you can just send me your name and address on an envelope. You know, no need to put a stamp on. And if it's a small envelope, don't worry. You can put my name and address inside your envelope you're sending to me, and you can put Dennis the Chemist, Prestwich, Prestwich, Manchester. That's all you have to put. And the Prestwich Post Office in Manchester, they know me so well. I've been in the shop 54 years, and I've been doing radio and TV programs on health for nearly 30 years, so they do know me. So if you just send me your name and address on an envelope, we'll stick the stamp on and send your notes back on anything that you've heard me talk about, and we'll send the notes to you. That's all. And you write on the envelope to me, Dennis the Chemist, Prestwich, Manchester. And as I say, on the envelope you send back to me with your name and address, you don't have to put a stamp on. We'll put the stamp on and we'll send you the notes. And if it's a small envelope you're using with my name and address, with your name and address, then we will sellotape it to a larger envelope. So coming back to today's topic, somebody had asked about magnesium, and I'm explaining that magnesium is one of the 48 products that this Danish company, Pharmanord, and they're making them to pharmaceutical standards by Danish law. Magnesium is one of the products. And actually, I was in Switzerland about 28 years ago when I heard the World Authority speak for an hour to 200 people from 60 countries at a conference on health. And he was talking then about magnesium. So, actually, if you look out of the window and you see trees and flowers and plants and grass, all that greenery is chlorophyll. Now, we've all heard of the green substance chlorophyll. But in the chemistry of chlorophyll, in the molecule of chlorophyll, is the mineral magnesium. And many of us are low in magnesium. Because, for example, if you eat white bread instead of wholemeal bread is healthier for you because it's got fiber in it. And fiber is so important as it passes through the bowel, the 27 feet of your bowel. Did you know that? Your bowel from the mouth to the anus is well over 20 feet long. And you need fiber to help it work. And many people get fiber products on prescription, especially as they get older, because the bowels don't work as well as they should. Because, for a start, none of us on this island, Great Britain, we don't eat enough fiber. We eat cakes and chocolates and sweets and sugar and biscuits and jam and marmalade. And, of course, none of this is food. It's all sugar, fat, salt. It's all unhealthy. We call it treats. Treats stands for terrible results, eating all that sugar. TREATS. So next time somebody says, go on, have a treat, you're eating sugar and salt and fat. we're having far too much of this, and that's leading to so much illness. And it's precipitating a lot of people, the sugar, into too many people getting diabetes. And now, because all the children from the age of about 18 months are on iPhones and laptops, and as they get older, they're on all these gadgets. You don't see children running around playing in the streets. What used to be called cowboys and shooting at each other, and your mother screaming, "Come in, come in, it's late, it's dark," and you're saying, "Just one more game, we're just playing cowboys." And so consequently, now they're all not running around the streets, they're not getting the exercise, they're having too much sugar, and there are actually a couple of hundred children now under the age of 12 who, through being overweight, through being obese, have now become already at that age type 2 diabetic. And I've also read that younger children and teenagers, if you include teenagers in the number, then there's several thousand children, teenagers age group, who are now type 2 diabetic. And unfortunately, they're going to have, unless they alter their lifestyle and cut out all this cake, chocolate, sweet, sugar, biscuits, jam, marmalade, unless they cut out all this sugar, then they're going to have problems caused by the diabetes at a much earlier age than if they got the type 2 diabetic through being overweight when they were in their 40s or 50s, which is what's been happening over the decades of the last century as more and more sugar's been eaten. But now with the children doing no exercise, just sitting playing Fortnite on their computers, iPads, iPhones, and not getting the exercise. And then because of the white flour, that's the white flour which has had the fiber removed, that's also removing the fiber is removing the magnesium. And the magnesium, I have a paper here on magnesium, it says magnesium, one of the four most abundant minerals in the body. And it says it's required, the human body, that's you, the listeners, require it for over 300 chemical reactions, including what? Including the chemical reactions magnesium is involved in, including the support of energy production, neurotransmitter production, that's pathways using natural chemicals to make your nerves work, bone formation, well, I've already mentioned that this morning, that it's equally important as calcium for bone formation, glucose and insulin metabolism, so we're coming back again to so many people, and now children and teenagers all becoming diabetic at a much earlier age. And there's another reason why they haven't got enough magnesium. And it goes on to say it even supports the regulation of the heartbeat rhythm. With so many critical roles, it says it's no surprise that this powerful mineral is so important. And then it gives references. One reference here by some German doctors, the importance of magnesium in clinical health care. Then from Australia, L. Braun and M. Cohen have written an article on herbs and natural supplements, an evidence-based guide. And in their guide, included in the supplements, they talk about magnesium. Then there's another one from Germany. Dietary factors influencing magnesium absorption in humans. Another one, the multifaceted and widespread pathology meaning leading to illness. So what is this multifaceted and widespread pathology of magnesium deficiency? And then in the journal, listen to this, listeners, this was in 2005. You know, that was a long time ago, 14 years ago. In that journal, the Journal of Intensive Care Medicine. So this is in people, presumably, in intensive care. And these Dr. Tong and Dr. Rood, their article is about how people in intensive care will be given magnesium to help them overcome their critical illness. And the article in the Journal of Intensive Care is Magnesium Deficiency in Critical Illness. And then another one in the journal Medical Hypothesis in 2006, which is quite a long time ago, 13 years ago, by Dr. Ebi, oh, it must be husband and wife team, or could be brother and sister, but these two doctors have written, Rapid Recovery from Major Depression Using Magnesium. So besides your antidepressants, you can take magnesium. And the Pharmanol product, which is very reasonably priced, you get 60 tablets. I think they're about $6.95. Or you get 150 tablets with 30 free for about £12.95. And that's for 150. If you took one a day, that would last 5 months. So coming up April, May, June, July, the August sheet of tablets would be free. So they would last you to August on one a day till August. If you took two a day, which is really the recommended dose for Great Britain for adults, then that would last you, the 150 would last you 2.5 months. Now, the question that one of our listeners had put was about migraine, in this article, it does mention the use in migraine. He says, here are just a few on the second page of the crucial roles of magnesium performs in the body. Supports energy production. It helps convert your carbohydrates and your protein and your fat into energy for the cells. It's even required to help the body convert omega-3 fatty acids, which you get in your diet from fish and flaxseed. It helps to convert the short-chain omega-3 fatty acids to the long-chain ones, the famous ones you get in fish, called EPA and DHA. Magnesium is particularly important for those relying on plant-based sources of omega-3, because when you get plant-based omega-3, you don't get anything like the blood levels that you do get from the fish-based source of omega-3. So people who are vegetarian and vegan, there's a very good reason why they should be taking the Pharmanord Bio Magnesium. Goes on to say it supports muscle function. This is magnesium supports muscle function. It allows for contraction and relaxation of muscles, which in turn facilitates the movement of your muscles, as well as supporting the muscles of your heart and regulating the heartbeat. It supports normal psychological function. Magnesium is one of the essential nutrients, along with zinc and vitamin B6, required for neurotransmitter production, with the deficiency of magnesium is associated with anxiety. And I do sell a lot of biomagnesium to people who are on medication from the doctor for anxiety, for depression, because I know that besides their medicines, we can help their natural nervous pathways work much better if we give them magnesium. In fact, Pharma Nord make a bio multivitamin tablet that contains magnesium and vitamin B6. It says it supports the nervous system because magnesium can inhibit the action of a substance called glutamate, which is a neurotransmitter, and it supports the action of a substance called GABA that we make. And GABA has a calming and relaxing effect in the body. It supports cell division, rejuvenating and building body tissue, skin, muscle, bone, essential for recovery. And if you've got a burn, you've been scalded, I have given people over the years, and even their doctors were surprised at the speed of improvement, because even if you go to a hospital and you'll get it and you have a scald, and they treat you with the dressing, they may give you antibiotics to stop infection. They don't usually tell you what to take from the nutrition point of view. But there are Pharma Nord products particularly which help the healing of burns. So, for example, their bioquinone Q10 Gold 100 milligram capsule, that gives you the energy to heal. And their biovitamin C, because humans don't make vitamin C. We need vitamin C for repairing. And their bark of a tree tablet called biopignogenol. Biopignogenol, amazing substance. It helps people with circulation problems. It helps skin repair. It works like ibuprofen and Voltarol, naproxen, anti-inflammatory drugs. It works in a similar way, but without the side effects of upsetting the tummy and other possible side effects from long-term use of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that I've just mentioned, like naproxen, Voltarol, its other name, diclofenac, ibuprofen, which is Nurofen. So their biopignogenol is what we call a COX-2 blocker, which is how these anti-inflammatory drugs work. And so Pharma Nord products greatly help many problems of the body. And it goes on to say about the migraine. It's talking about helping to prevent and overcome migraine. I had a young lady, she was 6.5 stone. She was only about 5'2" in height. I gave her in my pharmacy in Prestwich, Manchester, her prescription for an injection. She was so bad with the migraine, she couldn't swallow the tablet version, so she gets on prescription injections. And as I handed her the box of injections, she said, "Dennis, can I go in your consultation room and inject myself? My migraine is so bad. I want to bang my head on the wall. That's how bad it is." I said, go, inject yourself. So she was in 15 minutes, and when she came out, she said, "Thank you." I said, "Have you tried taking magnesium, the natural mineral that we're all owing, that you could help to stop the migraines coming?" She said, "No, I didn't know that." So she bought a box. She bought a box of 150 biomagnesium by Pharma Nord. And I said, "You can take 2 a day." It says on the box, 1 or 2 a day. I have heard you can take up to 3 or 4 a day. And the only side effect is you may get a bit of loose bowel because magnesium can have a laxative effect. So she went away. She took them. When she came back over a month later, she said, "Dennis, I haven't had one migraine." And I am small, I'm 5'2", 6.5 stone, and you said if I took the higher dose, I may get loose bowel. Well, I took the higher dose as a prevention, and I didn't get the migraine. And now I've dropped the 4 a day to 2 a day, and I'm finding I'm still not getting the migraine. So I can't help you enough. So now I'm saying it on Alex's radio program, which with the podcast, up to 35,000 people will be listening to this, and a lot of them will have migraine. So if you make, If you take biomagnesium, it's made to pharmaceutical standards in Denmark. It's not particularly dear. It's about $6.95 for 60 tablets, or it's about $12.95 with 30 free for 150. And if anybody wants notes on this, just send me an envelope with your name and address. You don't have to put a stamp on it. It doesn't matter what size your envelope is, because we'll stick it on a larger one. And we'll send you the notes on the magnesium, the bioselenium, the bioQ10, the biopycnogenol. Just write what notes you want to hear, and just send your envelope, unstamped, send it in an envelope to me, Dennis the Chemist, Prestwich, not Prestwick, that would go to Scotland, Prestwich, Prestwich, Manchester.
It's as simple as that.
The postcode is M251FX, but if you can't remember that, because you haven't got a pen, they know me well, Dennis the Chemist, Prestwich, Manchester.
Or quite simply, you could actually just use an email. I mean, Dennis, I love the way you're promoting snail mail, as though it's a current thing. I don't know. People still do, I gather, and actually use those red boxes that are actually sometimes formed to actually put in physical letters. It's amazing. You know, it's quite
Oh, yeah, we get a lot. I mean, if you want to email your name and address, just put info, I-N-F-O, at DennisTheChemist.com.
Exactly. That's the way forward.
And then you've got your address. We'll write it on an envelope. We'll stick the stamp on. Tell us what notes you want on the information, and you'll get them by return.
And you can't say fairer than that. Dennis, it's been awesome. We will speak to you soon. By the way, I mean, you might well say diplomatically, I can't say anything at this particular point of view. As a Blackpool lad, were you happy the Oystons went?
I take the Fifth Amendment.
I thought you would say that, exactly. I thought, well said, sir, well said. Dennis, we'll speak again next week.
Okay. Thank you.
these days known mostly as the Fizz. That was one of the Bucks Fizz. Running for their lives. It's just coming around to 2 minutes past ten on Friday, the 15th of March, here at Southside Radio, and of course with James Cook University Hospital. And we have a special guest in the studio. We have the fabulous Jack Cochrane with us. Jack, good morning. Welcome to our little broom cupboard. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad, thank you. Yeah,
marvellous. Now, you might be hearing a little bit more from Jack, because he's going to hopefully be doing some work experience with us. He's currently an undergraduate reading broadcast journalism at the University of Staffordshire.
I am, yeah, that's the one.
Excellent. But you've also actually had several days helping out at a school in Shenzhen, China.
I have, yeah. My dad was teaching in Middlesbrough for the best part of 10 years, wasn't enjoying it anymore, decided he fancied a challenge, and China popped up.
China.
He did.
Can you share which school he was actually at Middlesbrough?
He's worked a few with Thorntree, and then he finished off at St. Pius in Park End.
Right.
So he was fancied a new challenge and sort of upped and left. He's been working over there for the best part of about 8 months now.
And enjoying the experience?
Yeah, absolutely loving it, yeah.
Ni Hao, yeah. I think. Is it Ni Hao?
The one. Yeah, it's definitely the one.
That's probably all I'll know in terms of Chinese.
Yeah, it's about as far as I can get as well so far.
Go from there. We're going to talk about some of the things that you've been involved with, also your activities with Acorn Adventure and a whole heap of other things. There's even a pizzeria base you've actually worked for which is quite interesting. Presumably five wonderful green stars as well.
Well, I believe it is now, yeah.
There we are. But your first choice of music today, not really an indie band, but they're from Leeds, of course, and I think they're known for their footballing side of things as well, although this is often sort of used to actually celebrate all sorts of things. Go on, Jack, would you like to introduce them?
Yeah, so we're going to start off with one of my favourite bands. We've got the Kaiser Chiefs and Ruby.
Ruby,
Still to come this morning, we'll be speaking to Rob Nichols. It's going to be a crisis flying to the moon. To think of Rob, I appreciate this, but it is a crisis flying to the moon thing, because as you will be aware, or maybe not me, I don't know. Bad news as far as Middlesbrough were concerned this week. Bad news. We'd hoped it was going to be two straight wins. It wasn't. Anyway, never mind. So we'll move on from that. We will also be talking about science, and speaking in particular to Professor of Sociology of Education at UCL, University of Central Lancashire. That's Louise Archer, together with possibly Claire Jarvis, who's a pharmacist, talking about a recent report which suggests that students are turning their backs on science. Jack, we've already identified your subject. Did you not consider doing engineering or chemical or physics or various other bits and pieces?
It's never been quite my thing, no. It goes more to my brother in that side of the family. He's currently A-level in chemistry and physics. So.
Oh, that's good. So when you speak to these guys, you can at least say, well, at least part with some of the Cochrane family.
I can, yeah.
You
can
definitely being represented that. On that basis. So that's fine. Apparently there's a dearth of skills. We're heading for quite literally a black hole. I thought that was Brexit, but never mind. We talked about what you'd actually done and your connection with respect to China. We talked about what you're doing now. But activity-wise, you're quite an adventure leader.
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently qualified to instruct kayak and canoeing sessions, so a bit of water sports. Spent some time in Brecon in Wales, working all sorts of outdoor adventures, hiking, climbing, archery, water sports.
Inevitably, human beings being what they are, you get all sorts of folk. You get the people who, I'd rather be a couch potato, so what am I doing here? And then there's the kind of team-based things. What's the worst experience you've had with somebody who basically, let's say, if you're talking about orienteering, they say, I don't want to run through the hills of Wales with a map.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we did have one group who were a bit like that. They were a central London lot, never seen the countryside before.
Exactly.
Weren't really fans of it, all showed up with their iPhones, tried to...
No signal. I mean, disaster to start off with,
no signal, no Wi-Fi.
I've got no bars, man. What's going to go?
Pretty much. And, we had that situation. They all showed up in their designer gear, £200 trainers, and weren't really a fan of the South Wales mud. Yeah, exactly.
Have you done a tough mudder, by the way, talking about mud?
I haven't personally, no. I mean, I know a few people who have, and... said it's possibly the most challenging thing they've done, but...
We've featured a few times. The likelihood of yours truly doing a tough mudder, highly unlikely. It's not going to happen. I'll say that now, categorically. But interesting. And what about the best one? In terms of, has there been a time where people have come along and you've thought, oh, I don't know, we're going to have challenges here, but they've actually thrived under those challenges and have really developed?
Yeah, we had a group from Stoke-on-Trent that were... a group with learning difficulties that came in, and they really surprised everybody that was working at the centre. I mean, the commitment that they showed to get through some of the activities that they'd either never done before or weren't entirely comfortable with was absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
And any of those activities that you'd say, yeah, I prefer kayaking to climbing or archery to fencing or orienteering to bushcraft? Is bushcraft actually, is that like bush like a trials and things? Or
it's more sort of outdoor living, getting sort of be able to use with what you're given in the surroundings.
Make
exactly,
fire.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one.
Obviously make it safely, otherwise you'll burn the hot. No,
don't want to miss that one.
But do you have a favourite?
I've always been more of a water sports guy, so kayaking is probably... more my forte in that sense, yeah.
I never considered any of the sort of yachting or sort of sailing things or boating or such.
I've looked into it, but not necessarily where I'd feel comfortable. I think I'm more sort of happy where I'm in control rather than giving it to the wind.
Yeah, well, as I knew, just driving up from Lincoln this morning, the wind was pretty blustery out there. Mm. If you are heading out to drive and you're heading into the motorways, be very careful, because suddenly you get gusts across. It's very, very strange. Anyway, here it goes.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line, up to the platform of surrender. I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human? Or
What do you think, Jack Cochran? Are we human or are we dancer?
I couldn't answer that one, possibly.
I suppose it really predetermines on what you mean by dancer. Are we talking about, you know, Strictly Come Dancing? Are we talking about a different line of dialogue? Are we talking about Comic Relief? It is Comic Relief Day, actually. There's our little Comic Relief nose. Sorry, right-hand side of the microphone or the headphone. Are you doing anything for Comic Relief Day?
I can't say. I've got a preparation. I've got work first thing tomorrow morning, so...
Right, well, in which case, in the spirit of this, I'm going to hopefully deliver something which may or may not have some sort of resonance. Why did Aslan, obviously from C.S. Lewis and so on, why did Aslan cross the road?
I couldn't tell you.
Narnia business.
About you and I.
McNay. That's what you want, McNay. Broadcasting law. Law for journalists. Always very good. Oh, anyway, meanwhile, back with the radio production that is Southside Broadcasting, we hear that Rob Nichols is on his way. Woo! Now, we haven't really spoken about your allegiances, but I do gather, Jack Cochran, that you're quite a keen Borough fan.
I am indeed, yeah. Season ticket holder for 5 years before I moved for uni, so...
Right, so you've seen... Well, actually, the 5 years... Were you around for the glory years of Steve McLaren and the European journeys and stuff?
I was around. I wasn't a season ticket holder. It was an occasional visit to the games, right, when I could...
And then you decided...
Persuade my dad to take
so,
me.
Let me see, 5 years. So, actually, you would have had one of... Karanka would have been the most successful season you've actually had,
then. Yeah. I mean, we started... under Mowbray, season ticket started under Mowbray and ended with relegation from the Premier League just before I moved to Stoke.
Yes, yes. And of course, Mogger is doing quite well. And, of course, let us not forget, it's thanks to Bruce Rioch, who effectively, when asked if he was going to go to the moon, who would he take with him? It would be Tony Mowbray, hence the reason, Fly Me to the Moon, that fanzine, which is, say, 30 years it's been going. Rob Nichols will be with us. As I say, it's a crisis, Fly Me to the Moon, here, because I feel we have to wheel out the big guns, basically, and just find out, you know, what is going on with respect to this. And Rob will have been both the Preston games and the Brentford games. And we'll find out, and also look ahead briefly to what's happening with respect to Aston Villa. All this and more on Channel 1 for Hospedia. Don't forget, you can contact us anytime, day or night, 24/7. We have a voicemail, you can do that. It's 01642 854742, 01642 854742. If you can't be dealing with that, all that telephony and various other bits and pieces, that's okay. You can email us, info@southsideradio.com. That's info@southsideradio.com. Look, Jack Cochran did. He's in the studio now. You. that would be that Kate Bush, that would be, running up that hill. Let's talk China. You've been over there. Your dad's over there now. How would you say the standard of living and experiences compares with Staffordshire or Teesside?
Well, it's a completely different experience. I mean, you where in Shenzhen, where my dad lives, you don't get your houses that you see over here. It's all high-rise apartments. The majority of people who live in those. The quality of living-wise, I mean, if you're an expat living over there, you live very, very comfortably. If you're on Western wages, you can live a very, very nice life over there.
And you were talking in betwixt the music, Jack, about how in the recent typhoon situation, there was clearly a sense of care that the government actually had, a duty of care for the population. It was just a case of, well, tough, see, you wouldn't want to be here, etc.
Yeah, I mean, the government will call a day and just say, look, people aren't allowed to go to work, you know, the street workers, they're not allowed. They're not allowed to be out on the streets working. Businesses are encouraged not to work or not to open if the weather's particularly bad. And I mean, you see it when you see these natural disasters, you see the loss of life. And to me, it appears that the Chinese government are doing as much as they can to prevent that.
Well, I say interesting times, because clearly there's a lot of talk about climate change and various other sort of elements, and one of the things, the BRIC economy, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, that's also been flagged up as that. Well, I'm going to go into world politics, because frankly it's too much for a Friday morning. What we are going to do though is have a couple of musical little interludes, and that will hopefully take us neatly round to, as I say, this crisis of Flying to the Moon.
And the man was in command. It was a flight on the wings of a young girl's dreams that flew her too far away. Don't push too far, your dreams are China in your hand. Don't wish too hard because they come true. Don't push too far, your dreams are charged.
Well, we're not going to have a full show, because that'd be too much, but Rob Nichols is here as promised. Rob, it's a crisis mini edition of Fly Me to the Moon.
That's it is, because my microphone is...
Is your microphone collapsing?
Yeah, that's indicative of the crisis.
Let it go, Rob. Just let it go. Oh, yes. Oh, dear Lord. That's very unusual. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that in years.
Yes, it just shows you difficult times.
What did we say last Friday? Last Friday, total encouragement. We thought all was going well. I was talking about this with Jack Cochran earlier. No relation to Terry, by the way. Asked that question, but yep. None. Okay. Jack, what was your reaction when, first of all, the Brentford result occurred? And after being up one goal, it was almost like deja vu all over again. I blame the Groundhog Day cover, actually.
Yeah. Didn't see it coming. I mean, how long has it been since we lost from a winning position? It's 75 games, I believe. And
75 years since Brentford, obviously.
Exactly, yeah. So long since anyone's lost to Brentford to lose both records in one day. I mean, it was definitely a surprise for me.
Rob, you were there. Is Tony Pulis right? Is it all a case of just referees? They hate him.
I think there were very different circumstances in both games. I think Tony Pulis, you could tell he said that as well post-match. Brentford played very, very well. Then we go 1-0 up again. Ashley Fletcher scores the early goal once more, but we were totally in control in that game. But the red card changed everything, and it's a dubious decision. It's difficult. You can see why it was given in some senses, but it has to be said that everybody applauded round the ground the tackle by Ayala. And I think we should go on that instinct, really. I think even after the match, their manager, press manager Alex Neil, has said that he thought we were hard done to, and that really did turn the match. But the only thing that you can say that both have in common both matches is the fact that we didn't put our chances away. 1-0 is not enough, and we had a lot of opportunities in both games to have gone 2-0 up. But it was certainly a massive turning point against Preston, and we have to appeal, because we could be without Ayala for four games.
Jack, you were saying that the appeal is obviously in process. You saw the challenge. You didn't think it was worthy of a red?
No, I mean, I didn't think it was a red card. I've seen it from several angles. I've seen it plenty of times now, and I mean, to me, it looks like Ayala got the ball. Wouldn't have said it was a red card. If he'd have took the man, admittedly, he was the last man, it would have been a sending-off offence. But from what I was looking at, it definitely didn't look like a red card.
So far, Jack, we've talked about your time in China, your possible return to China. We've talked about your time as an activities organiser, etc. We haven't talked about your commentary. And obviously Notts County must love you when you're actually there, because of the tremendous record that they're having. So talk to us about this commentary that you've been doing.
So I mean, it's just filling up my portfolio, doing the occasional freelance across football league games. Covered Middlesbrough's Checkatrade Trophy run earlier on this season.
Were you actually commentating then?
I wasn't commentating. I was doing match reports for that one.
Okay. Because you've got the sort of John Motson.
You know, we'll take photographs, he's all set there, isn't he? Really?
Yeah, he's got the sheepskin.
So it's been just working across League Two mainly last season, Checkatrade this season, doing bits where is interviewing the managers. It was interesting speaking to Kevin Nolan at Notts County last year. If I recall correctly, did a few comparisons between Notts County and Newcastle, but they had to let them one slide, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, I mean, Rob, Karanka's available now. Will he come back? I mean, what's the situation? Because, I mean, Jack, I think, is fairly certain. I mean, I don't know. Are you a Pulis fan, Jack, or would you say? I don't know.
I was excited. Maybe not excited is the right word. I was quite pleased when he took over, but watching the football this season, I can understand why a lot of people aren't happy with it. And I mean, I've spoken to a fair few people who said they're not renewing season tickets if he's in charge next season.
Rob, I mean, the fifth place is still consistently there, thanks, of course, to the consistency of inconsistent Bristol City and Derby, of course.
Yeah, and obviously that means that the teams below
are starting to gain on us, and one of those teams we go head-to-head with on Saturday in Aston Villa, who are now just 4 points behind. And only a week ago, it was inconceivable that Aston Villa would be involved in the playoffs. That would be an absolute nightmare if Villa overhauled us and got into that position. About managerial changes, well, we only need to look across at West Brom.
I was going to say, because that's the other sort of crisis aspect.
I think that is...
Fourth is not good enough.
It's madness. Absolute madness at this stage. Mm. Anything could happen as a result. And they obviously haven't got a successor. Mm. Anything could happen.
They have
with
won
West Brom.
Since, of course. I mean,
they have won. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But is that a recipe for actually sort of saying, well, we're just going to boot them out? Because... certainly the precedent that's actually been set for that, I mean, I suppose you could, Gareth Southgate, of course, went when Borough was sort of first.
In October, though.
Yes,
And, you know, obviously, look at where you're based at Stoke, and Stoke City switched managers earlier in the season. They were a long way down at that point, but they're still
is
not.
Still
that's
still the 365 stadium.
It is. It is still a B365. A lot of people don't like it. Prefer the Britannia, but it's
sponsor name, isn't it?
Yeah, sponsors' names.
Oh well.
And of course, Middlesbrough are going to be changing their name temporarily at the next match, and you can vote for a name change to do with Captain Cook.
Well, there we
are. It's a name to do with Captain Cook, and we're doing this podcast today from James Cook Hospital.
Exactly. So there's a Cook theme to the whole system.
Cook theme, yes.
So too many cooks don't spoil the broth. No. Rob, do we look forward with hopeful anticipation to the trek down to Villa Park? I mean, is Adoma still there? He's still sort of, Grealish obviously will be around from that point of view.
Well, yeah.
Do we think it's going to be good? Or I mean, obviously, Borough's away form, as you see games home and away.
Yeah.
Never missed a game for years, actually.
It's consistent. 99.
You've never forgotten that, have you? That 1999 game that you missed.
I haven't forgotten it. Yeah. No, that's the two big problems this season have been obviously for many fans it's been entertainment, but the problems as far as the league's concerned is them not putting away chances, and secondly that the home form compared to the away form. If the home form could have come anywhere near matching the away form, then we wouldn't be struggling at this situation. So, yeah, we hope that we can click into that away form again. But Villa Park, of course, holds some bad memories from us, from the team that stopped our season last you know that at the playoff semi final, and obviously yes, they're suddenly going great guns again, aren't they? They won in midweek. They hammered post Karanka Forest. That's done them a lot of good, hasn't it, that change? And it'd be a very, very difficult game, seeing as being beaten at Villa Park many times before.
Jack, what's your prediction for Villa versus Borough?
I mean, following or looking at the away form we've had this season, we have played well. I mean, when we beat West Brom 3-2, I was at that game, and I mean, wasn't expecting a victory, especially when we went 2-1 down. I didn't see us coming back from that. We did.
Yeah.
You know, we've been playing all right in the Midlands this season.
Yeah.
So there we are. See, it'll all be good again. You know, this premature crisis. We've actually,
that's right, because we drew at Derby, didn't we?
Drew at Derby,
and then Derby
Stoke.
Just hammered somebody that you know, that scored a lot of goals before that.
I mean, I'm going to go positive. I'm going to predict a two-one win for the Borough.
I like that.
That's the line of things that take us into a whole new world.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Rob. Stay with us. We've got this interview that we're doing with the Professor of Sociology of Education at UCL. That's Louise Archer to talk about the crisis, the other crisis. It's a crisis all over. You know, I almost feel as though we should have a referendum on the crisis to actually determine whether or not we should actually have another crisis to actually talk about the crisis. But anyway, you're listening to Southside Broadcasting, Channel 1 for Huspedia. And upcoming, yes, the crisis in the lack of science students in the 21st century in Britain.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225
grams of magnesium. Hang on, slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
the recipe? That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
As I've frequently said, doing a degree in chemistry and biology is a wonderful way to actually get a wonderful scientific take on life, really. Mind you, it's not for everybody, apparently. And certainly, when we actually have a country which has brought forth the delights of Stephen Hawking, Isaac Newton, Charles Darwin, and so on, you might think that Britain would be pretty good when it comes to science and technology and so on. We spoke to Jack Cochrane early, still in the studio, of course, that at least, Jack, your brother is doing some sciences at A-level.
He is indeed, yeah, physics and chemistry, looking to go and do chemistry at university in the next couple of years as well.
Well, that's good, and it'll be good news certainly to ace pharmacist Claire Jarvis to see that at least there's one soul that's likely to be sort of pursuing that particular chemical career. Good morning, Claire, how are you?
Good morning, I'm very well, and good to hear there's other people coming through.
Exactly, and we've also got Professor of Sociology of Education at UCL, and that's of course the fabulous Louise Archer. Good morning, Louise.
Hello, good morning.
Louise, we'll come to you first. I mean, is there a crisis? I mean, as we said, you just have to look at the papers to see that all sorts of other crises with respect to the other political issues, beginning with B, etc. But when it comes to science and recruiting, I used to teach science, but you still got the line of saying, oh, it's very difficult. It's fun, it's enjoyable. What's going wrong? Why aren't we getting these youngsters coming through to actually ensure that, you know, science is good and enjoyable?
Well, the market research by Roche very much echoes our own national study of over 40,000 young people. And our findings show that from age 10 to 18, it's not that young people are lacking interest. Around 70% of them are saying they actually enjoy school science. They're finding it interesting. So well done, teachers, on that front. But this doesn't translate through into their aspirations to continue a science. So while loads of them like it, only about 15% think they can aspire to be a scientist. So it's not just a matter of making science more fun. We think there are two main reasons for this. There are many, but there are two main ones. The first is how much what we call science capital someone has. So science capital is all the science-related stuff you may have in your life. So do you watch science TV? Do you go to sciencey places? Do you have a parent who is a scientist? And the more of that you have, statistically, the more likely you are to see yourself as a science person and to continue with it. But the second key issue is that even if you want to do it, in England, our education system makes it really difficult. So from about the age of 13, we stream out most people. Only about 27% carry on with what's called the triple science route. And the problem is that most young people, the majority, are learning really early. Science isn't for them.
Rob, in the studio, obviously we've talked about a similar generation, similar era from that point of view. I went off to do chemistry policy. You did an archaeology degree, or was it a history degree from that point of view?
I did history and geography degree, but I did quite a lot of science in my geography. Yeah. But I did do three sciences at school. And I guess we come from an area where science is a traditionally heavily taught because of a lot of people going into engineering and everything. Mm. And we've spent a lot of money on a big STEM centre for Middlesbrough College, which is basically goes out to industry and asks them what scientific and engineering needs they need for the future. So it works for vocations in the future.
I mean, Louise, is that something which obviously can help if you've got the science, technology, engineering, mathematical subjects, those STEM subjects there, that, you know, we're looking to future-proof ourselves, basically, so we don't end up in a science black hole?
Yes. I mean, this is something that's really worrying governments and industry and educationists, not just in England, but in most, you know, many, many countries across the world. And it's a complex issue. It's really important that we have good quality routes there. But that alone isn't enough, because we're still teaching science in ways that is often making us associate it with masculinity, as something that posh people do. It's really not democratised enough yet.
Claire, can we come to you now at this particular stage? Talk us through your own life path, how you became an extraordinarily wonderful pharmacist.
Thank you. I guess I had a good role model at school who, when I was in chemistry lessons, being quite enthusiastic about it, sort of took me to one side and said, take on a career. I love the fact that you like chemistry, but look for a career that sort of will sort of stretch you in different ways. And that's sort of how I found pharmacy and wanting to actually have that interaction with patients and sort of apply the science. So I took that path and started working in the NHS, and then sort of discovered that sort of having that career in science just sort of opens up a whole new world of different opportunities, and found myself working for a pharmaceutical company now where I can have that sort of benefit for patients at a much bigger level when I'm sort of advising, actually, to make this drug work for this patient in the UK, we need to think about doing this and that. And so it was having those role models, as Louise was saying, that science capita early to sort of build up that level of interaction throughout my school days to, I think, just help me on my career path.
Jack Cochran in the studio here. We talked earlier about, obviously, your father is teaching in China now. You're looking to go over to teach in China. What's the situation? Do you know what the like there is in terms of Chinese students studying science and so on?
I can't talk for Chinese public schools, but I know in the school my dad's working in, he's currently got somebody over from Middlesbrough, actually, out in China with him, who's providing sort of science support and teaching, or giving the teachers over there the information they need to teach in science.
So clearly we've got a good export line of things, or potentially, in terms of anecdotally. I mean, Louise, have we got that risk of people saying, right, we've had it with Brexit and so on, we're going to go and teach science in China?
Well, I suppose anything's always possible. Wow. I think in any uncertain climate, there's definitely a big concern over the world as to, do we have enough people who've got STEM qualifications? Mm. And not just for working in industry, but also the modern world we live in, we all need to be scientifically literate to be active citizens. So I think it's a big concern all round.
It would have been Albert Einstein's birthday yesterday, I believe, March the 14th. I mean, obviously, he was German, a German patent clerk, and in many places you actually say, yes, he had difficulty with mathematics. So is it worth stating that just if you have one or two challenges with subject, doesn't necessarily mean that you can't have fun and really enjoy and benefit from a science-based course?
I think that's a key message that we're trying to get across to schools, which is that even if you want to do something completely different, science and STEM, like science, technology, engineering and maths qualifications, are all really transferable, and they'll actually help keep your options open. So don't just think about science as leading to a science career. It can lead to any career.
Definitely, and I was terrible at mental maths at school, and I'm having a successful career in science without necessarily needing to use that mental math bit of my brain, so I definitely advocate for that too.
Rob, any questions that you've got to conclude with either Louise or indeed Claire?
From the time that I was in the education system, which was a long, long time ago...
Well, it was last century.
Last century. I was able to change my options at school to be able to do something like history and geography. I wanted to do the two of them. But talking to kids and parents now, find that it's probably part of the message that you're putting across here, that the options are much more closed and it's much more difficult to do what you want to do. Is that a worry?
Yes, I think we need to look at this carefully, because England is actually out of step with most of the rest of the world. We have a system of increasingly early specialisation. And actually, if you look at the future workforce, what we're going to need, we're going to need people with a wide range of skills who are adaptable. So we really think it's worth the government looking at baccalaureate systems. Other countries which have higher rates of STEM participation manage it. So I think it's time to think again.
And Jack, any questions for yourself?
Just sort of what's that, the situation we're looking at with the lack of people in the sort of
should
in the
we
sciences.
Be terrified, Louise? Should we actually sort of think it's not another thing to worry about? Good Lord.
I wouldn't say terrified, no. I think it's a concern and it definitely needs looking at, but we're not at a horror point.
That's good to hear, because when you talk about black holes, you know, event horizons, you suddenly compress into a mass and suddenly you just find yourself sort of sucked into a whole new dimension. But anyway, let's just look. Hope there's an Einstein-Rosen bridge that's somewhere that's around for the whole thing. Louise, where can people go to find out further information about the Roche study or indeed what we've been talking about today?
Our own research is available on the UCL website. If you type UCL and Science Capital or Aspires, you'll find it. And I think Claire has details of the Roche research.
Yep, so you can go to roche.co.uk for our research, and also on our Facebook and Instagram pages you can find some more about sort of STEM careers and outreach programs that we're doing.
Claire Jarvis, pharmacist extraordinaire. I think it's important you actually have the extraordinaire on, Claire, because it's very important to deal with career progression, etc. And Professor Louise Archer from the Department of Education at UCL. Was it the Department of Education these days?
The Institute of Education. Yeah.
That's okay. Many thanks indeed, and hopefully we'll speak again soon. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Break love to science in an act of pure defiance. I broke her heart. As I pulled apart her theories, as I watched her growing weary, I pulled her apart.